how much fun you can really have by walking in a control room and sitting down and doing anything you want to do, almost, or getting a call from Pat Walsh cussing you real bad because you said damn or something.
He'd be calling from the bathroom on the hotline, on the pot line. He'd be
threatening to fire you, but it never did. Those days, I hate to say they're gone, but they're gone. And it's a sad thing. You know, we used to have like the flying saucer. I might have told you about that before. You know, that thing would come up 2 or 3 feet, and boy, it'd throw horse pookie real good when you were in parades.
Let's take it to the drive-in. That'll be fun. So we take it out to the drive-in and crank it up there by the concession stand, and everybody's marveling, and then all of a sudden they say, and the rocks begin to come out from underneath it. And the cars and people are there. I mean, to tell you, we shut it off real quick.
Didn't take long. I have really been trying to think of some things that, you know, I'd like to share with you, but most of them we can't really and truly talk about. Sonny's wife is here. I got mine to stay home tonight. I told her, you really need to stay with those grandkids, baby. You don't need to go.
Yeah, they're getting older. You need to stay with the grandkids. They're getting older.
There's so many things we've done. I remember Clyde Clifford. God bless him. That man had more listeners than any of us will ever know how many listeners you can have. And I know he was stoned because I went out there 2 or 3 times and smoked with him. So, and it wasn't Paul Malls either.
And you know one thing, Clyde, you did save me as far as being music director and that thing, because I'd cut off all of the 45s because we weren't playing albums. And then by golly, here steps Clyde Clifford up to the podium there, and by golly, he starts them turntables spinning out there at the transmitter, and the 45s begin to come back in, and we saying, well, nobody will ever hear those albums. They're out there in the weed patch out there where they're going on. And son of a gun, not only did the albums and the 45s start coming in, but he started getting mail. And I think they was going to put a mailbox out there at the transmitter for him.
He got mail by the bags. Mail sacks. And I remember one night, whoever did the nights up to, what'd you come on, Clyde, 11?
Yeah.
I think, anyway, they said, Bob, will you fill in? Well, I said, sure. Went down at 11 o'clock, and we threw it to him at the transmitter, and dang, phones exploded. And I answered that phone, and they said, hey, man. What's going on, man? I said, where the hell are you calling from? He said, I'm calling from the Atlantic or the Pacific somewhere. He was in the Navy, stoned on a ship. True. And but I loved listening to Clyde as I was trying to get home in a drunken stupor that Sonny had got me in somewhere. I have to blame him because I wouldn't have done that, you know. Lord, there were so many good times. And those of you that were there with us, you made memories in my heart and soul that I'll never, ever lose or forget. And that's something that God gives us that nobody can destroy, those memories. And it's fun sometimes just be riding along, thinking about that dumb flying saucer or the fun mobile when Pat caught you making out in there, you know. Sonny never did learn how to kiss good, though. That's a problem I had. But well, you had to teach him that.
I sold a lot of tires down at Fiberglass Tire Center.
Yeah, he did. Threw a lot, and while he was selling tires, Archie and I were inside looking at porn movies or something. Those were the good days. You know, you walk in a station now, and they all shake your hand like that, and you know, you, what the hell's going on? Don't say that anymore. Can't talk that way in here now. There's ladies present. Lady walks by, and I mean, she'll put a cussing on you. That's just some of the things that happen, I guess, through life. And Oh, God, wow, what fun. But, oh, Pat Walsh, God rest his soul.
You know, I didn't last time we got together, and I don't know how many of y'all were here last time. How many of you came for the 50th deal and everything? Quite a few of us. But one thing that I didn't do, and I'm going to let him do it too, because I know what he's going to say. I was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas in 1966 in the basement of the Pines Hotel. And that's where the radio station was located. And I was doing a Sunday show, and I hear this on the outside. And I said, oh my God, somebody needs money to get into the bathrooms, because they cost you money to get in the bathroom. So I went to the door. I was going to check to see who it was before I opened the door, if he looked like he needed to do that and everything. And it was Tommy Riggs. And he said, let me in. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Tommy Riggs from KAAY in Little Rock. And I said, you're from where? Little Rock, KAAY? So I let him in. He said, listen, he said, we've got a place open at KAAY that I think you could fit. Would you send an air check to George Jennings? And I said, now you said KAAY? And he said, yeah, just send an air check in and I'll give you the address. And I said, KAAY in Little Rock, Arkansas. You're talking about the 50,000 watt KAAY? He said, yes, send an air check to George Jennings. He said, I think you can get this morning job or to get this job. I said, you did say KAAY, didn't you? He said, let me write that down for you in case you forget it. So I sent an air check. 2 days later, George Jennings got me on the telephone. He said, you need to come talk to me in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's KAAY. And I said, you did say, no, I didn't say that. I wasn't going to say that to George. So I went up there, and by golly, good Lord opened the door. I didn't realize it. It's amazing how many doors the Lord opens for you, and you have absolutely no idea who's got the door handle in his hand and is pulling that thing open for you. And that's what got it all started. Otherwise, I'd have been probably right now while the Pines Hotel's closed. It'd still be down there somewhere trying to get out of the basement of the Pines Hotel. But I know you got a story that brought you to KAAY too, don't you, bud?
I do. You know, as far as the show, Sonny and George was the best morning show that I've ever heard in my life. And they brought a lot of happiness to a lot of people. They sure did. You know, Sonny talks about being there. I was way down in southern Georgia and had been there since I got out of the Navy at a small station in a little town called Americus, Georgia. And was having some marital problems. And when I got caught with a lady that I shouldn't have been caught with by my wife, I thought it was time to leave town. And it just so happened that the morning that all happened, Wayne Moss called just to say hi. And as soon as I heard his voice, I said, yeah, I'll take it. And he said, take what? I said, the job. He said, there ain't no job, but maybe I can find one. And I said, well, that'll be good. I need to leave as quick as possible. So he did. And I started out to Little Rock. And I'll never forget, and it was in the daytime. And I put it on 1090, way over in Mississippi somewhere. And the station was pretty loud, pretty clear. And I drove, and I drove, and I drove some more, and it was still real clear. And I kept thinking, when am I going to get to where I'm going? And I hit Pine Bluff and saw the Little Rock sign, and it took however long to get from there to the station. And I'll never forget, that was on a Sunday. And I called Wayne, and he met me, took me to the station, and I had never seen a place of business so filthy, so cluttered and strewn in all my life. And I thought, hell, I'm going back to Georgia. At least we swept the floors down there. But thank God I didn't. And thank God that the next morning, Pat Walsh and just all the people, Marvin and everybody, when I met them, what wonderful, wonderful folks they were. And that started a little career here in Little Rock, and that was, what, 45, 46, 47? Damn, long time ago.
Long time ago.
Long time ago. And Sonny and I started doing some stuff and skating rinks and just all kind of crazy things and had so much fun. And it seemed like every time you thought you'd come up with the best idea, there was always another one.
I know we're talking about KAAY, but, you know, we've been together longer than KAAY, really. You know that? Yeah, I can remember us stirring things up over... I can remember you stirring things up over kissing one of those. But I, you know, maybe we'll save that for another day. You gonna tell that? All right. Any kids in it? No, the kids are not in here. Go ahead and tell them.
Now, this is a true story, and I know probably a lot of y'all don't listen to country music, but this actually really and truly happened. We used to do tracks and do our news, and then we would record the stuff and keep putting it in. Well, anyway, the little cart machines, you remember how you would stick them in, and you'd hit a race, and it would go around, and then it would stop, and you could start over and do your stuff. Well, I did that, and Sonny was on the air, and he was needing news at 2 o'clock, we'll say. I don't remember what time, but anyway, I redid the news, and in those days, it's 2 o'clock, KSSN Little Rock, it's 2 o'clock. Well, went into the news, mispronounced a word, and had the damnedest cussing spree I've ever had. I mean, I laid it down pretty heavy.
Yeah, but you can erase that.
I thought it erased. I take it over to Sonny. He put it into, we had those little carousels. He put it in that carousel. And I started back. And I heard it's 2 o'clock. KSSN Little Rock. Blah, 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 blah. God damn it, son of a bitch. And I was trying to run, but my legs wouldn't take me. And I slid in, and if any of y'all remember Bob Galen, Bob was crippled.
What was the next song? What was the next sound you heard, though?
Well, we went to the window, and we saw Kirby Confer running across the Channel 4 parking lot. And Bob coming there, and he was crippled and going in a circle. And he said, "What did you say? What did you say?" Well, Chuck, who was running the board, Chuck said, "I think he said, damn." I said, "No, that ain't what I said, Galen." And he said, "What did you say?" About that time, Kirby Confer kicks the door open.
Kirby knew what he said.
If y'all knew Kirby, y'all understand. He comes there and he said, "What the hell is going on?" Well, Chuck again said, "Bob said, damn." I said, "No, I didn't say that." Kirby said, "What did you say?" And I went through the list, and all he did was go, "If you see Kay, tell her I'm looking for her." And over he went next door. But we found out we had a bunch of listeners that day.
They all picked up the telephone.
Only three old women demanded that I make an apology. That's God's truth. Yeah, so that helped me a lot, I think.
You hadn't done it since.
Yes, I did. One time, but not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd have done that on KAAY, Pat would have sit on us and stopped us from doing it anymore. I got to tell y'all a quick story about a night. Sonny was drinking a little bit. Just a little. He wasn't really drinking.
He opened my mouth so far.
But he got stopped about a block from his house. Police took him to jail, locked him up. Well, there were some of us that wanted to go get him out. We were drunk, too. That wasn't a good night.
Who was this?
That was Bill Edwards.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Bill, the boy at the...
You know who this is?
The cop didn't care. Yeah, but... Old Bill gets there, and the cop tells him, said, "Look here, don't you drive this car, but if you do, we're going to put you up there too. Bill didn't drive it, not until he went around the corner and he drove it up to the police station, went in the front door raising hell, and they locked him up too. And it's those kind of memories that we want to forget, but you just can't. You know what I'm trying to tell you? A lot of things went on in those years, and if you were a part of it, that's good. I know the other day, about 2 months ago, I went to a friend's funeral, and they were, and maybe y'all knew Bobby, but they were talking about how everybody was getting older, and some of us were starting to leave, you know, leave here, and about three or four of them were over there and said, "Look, Robbins is older than any of us. He drank more whiskey, chased more women, you know, worked in more nightclubs, got hit by more baseball bats, got his butt kicked more than anybody, and he'll be here when all of us are dead and gone." And I said, "Yeah, I kind of like the way y'all think." But, I don't do any of that anymore, though. But, you know, and it's a fact, I guess Sonny is the only one that I remember from the days when I came into the Friendly Giant territory. All the folks that were a part of our life that were really close to us, they're gone. And they left some beautiful memories behind and a lot of great laughs. And I personally get to have them every day, and I know Sonny does too.
They're either gone or they're in the witness protection program. I'm not real sure. But, and I'm not going to go look for them, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, the reason that it's not, it's like 7:30, and it's not because we got to go home and go to bed or anything like that. Since I got an audience here and a microphone in my hand, the commercial is about to come. Tomorrow from 11 until 1, I will be playing classic hits, the stuff that we grew up with on KAAY, on Cool 104.7. I'll be at the Sunrise Corner at Sunrise, and I'll be doing a remote out there from 11 until 1, free hamburgers, hot dogs, and lots of sunshine on the street corner. No telling who else is going to be out there. Some say Connie Hamsey might make an appearance, but I doubt that. I doubt that. And praise the Lord for Tommy Riggs, Rock Robbins. I don't know if y'all ever got to meet him or anything like that. The first remote that I did was out at the golf putting place in South Little Rock, out at the Arnold Palmer, what was it? He said, "Sonny, go out there and set up and everything, but don't pay any attention to anybody that comes out there to sun out there," because he said, "I guarantee you, Connie's going to be out there. She'll set up with her lawn chair and her bikini bathing suit. And I guarantee you she's going to be out there." And he said, "Whatever you do, don't pay any attention to her. Just be friendly." And I said, "All right, I'll be friendly." So I was friendly, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to her. Then I paid attention to Tommy a little later on. He said, "Let me tell you about her." And he began to tell me about her, and then he went on and on and on. He said, "The other thing about it is she's going to write a book one of these days. You don't want to be in the book. So what you got to do to keep being in the book is do what I told you the first time I talked about her, and that is don't pay any attention to her." She pounded on the door of the Funmobile quite a bit, and I ignored her quite a bit. Well, the only time it'd be when there'd be a bunch of people in there. But let me tell you, I ain't in the book. How about you, Pard?
I never read the book. I was afraid to. You know, I see my friend Tom sitting back here. This is one of the sweetest, nicest men in the radio business. We were competitors for a long time. But Tom don't know that I used to drive home listening to his big ass and thinking, "Boy, I like that guy. I like him so much." But for the last few years, I've been able to say hi to him almost every day. He cusses me like a yard dog. I don't know what I do to deserve it, but I love the man. And I've seen other people that are in radio, Cumulus, there she is, and she does traffic over there. I don't know if that's why they run the wrong spots all the time or not, but I'm kidding. I tried to listen to that jerk in the afternoon talk over there, but he ain't Ray Lincoln. I can't listen too good. But seriously, y'all that I've had the pleasure of being around and working with, our friend here used to work at Channel 11, and I'm sorry, I can't remember, Sydney. A lot of years go back with a lot of you. And like Dale, I don't ever get to see him, but just every now and then, last couple of times, been here. What a great human being, and he was a darn good engineer, too. Unless somebody shot through the cable out of the transmitter. They had to get Felix in then, didn't they? But what an honor and what a privilege it's been to be able to work with all of y'all. And I don't know about you, but I pray that this business we call radio, something that I love so much and always will. I could never sing, so I thought, well, maybe I can play the music and maybe that'll be good. And it's been good for me. I wouldn't take a minute for any of it or $1 billion for any of it. It has been fun. It's got its ups and it's got its downs, but it's still an avenue that we can talk to people whether we're tracking or not. And when we get the opportunity to do that, personally, I get to talk to people still live. And I love that. A lot of us don't have that privilege, but at least we can still be in touch with human beings. And we can tell them some mighty important stuff when it has to happen. You know, the thing that sticks in my mind, a few years ago, a gentleman was killed out on the interstate. Beautiful sunny day, tornado come up. Alan Archer was hollering, put me on the air, put me on the air. And I'm saying, why? He said, Bob, seriously, there's a tornado. I said, hell, the sun's shining. And I looked down and that tornado was coming across down at the church. And I'll never forget the poor man died because of the tornado. And maybe if we'd just put him on a second or two earlier, maybe that would have never happened. I don't know. But it's radio, it's instant, and we can make it happen. And thank y'all for doing it, and thank y'all for being here tonight and sharing this evening with friends that had so much fun at KWAY, the friend Lee Giant.
Yeah, y'all, while you're wandering around in here, check some of these things out over here on the table, because those are memories. And you know, that's one of the things that we've got, and I was just telling Bob, I said, can you believe now, it's 2015. And here we are, 1977 was the last year that I was on KWAY. George was after me saying, get over here, Martin. I want you over here now. And so I said, yes, I'll leap out of there, because we couldn't talk anybody into turning it into a 50,000-watt country station. Can you imagine the truckers that would have loved to listen to KWAY? We couldn't do that. They didn't want to do that. I think they were ready to get out at it. So anyway, y'all live with the memories just like we do. We're forgetting more of them all the time, but the unusual thing is every time I get here with him, I start thinking about Mark Lindsay falling off the back of Heavy George's double-decker bus going down Main Street. He didn't really fall. We just stopped at a stoplight and he got off. And then he chased the bus for two or three blocks. But we had a big time, and we had the Skunk Festival the next day, and it was a lot of fun, Loudon Wainwright and all that. And the lady from the health department called me and said, Sonny, this is the first and last Skunk Festival that we're going to have. Because I don't want people coming back to me saying, how do we get these skunks to smell better? He said, I'm having people call up wanting to know how they make them pets and all this stuff. And I said, yes, ma'am. So we let that Skunk Festival thing die. I wished we'd have done the same thing with a cow chip toss-off. I think it smelled worse than the skunks did. But we had a lot of fun doing it. They don't have a lot of fun anymore, I don't think. You know, that's really pitiful. It's pitiful for our situation, but it's even more pitiful for the folks on the other side of the microphone, because they can't hear what's going to come up. And radio, just like Bob can say and I can say, is you never know what you're going to do next. because that's the way we always did it. The Lord just opened the door and things fell out. And thank goodness most of them were good enough to hear, you know. Some of them you didn't want to hear it again, that's for sure. I think back at all the stuff that me and George did and every bit of that stuff, there wasn't none of it recorded. And people say, man, I remember whenever you did that. And I said, did what? You know, because once you'd say something, somebody come up to you and say, did you say that? And then you'd be just like, Bob, I never said that. That's not what I said. But we appreciate y'all paying attention to us. And if you see us next week or any other time after that, remind us about what we said here so we can have a good laugh.
Better yet, bring money. We'll need to borrow a little. Hey, God bless y'all. He was talking about how we need to get home. I'll be honest with you. Usually at 7 o'clock, I'm asleep.
You got a remote tomorrow?
No, no remote tomorrow. So that's how come I could be here tonight. But I go to bed at 7 because I get up at 3. And then I go back to sleep on Saturday and Sunday. So it's no big deal. But if I'm not home in bed and it's already 20 to 8, pumpkin, you know what happens to a pumpkin. I tried to prepare Susan before I left. So thank y'all, seriously. And wherever you go, whatever you do in this crazy world of radio, always keep a smile on, because it'll make the people out there feel a lot better. And if you're getting some sunshine, it'll make your teeth look a lot prettier too. So keep a smile on, keep your head up, and the hell with big corporate radio. But when you walk out this door, if you said I said that, you're a damn liar. Thank y'all. Yeah, I have, but thank y'all very much. And have a safe trip home and a very happy Easter.